Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Why, hello and good afternoon slash lunchtime, I guess, this afternoon. We're talking here on Jay Bird Watching.
It's a nooner.
I'm your host, Craig Borden.
It's a nooner.
We got a nooner. And it's actually happy hour. So I guess that's a good thing we're having the beer drinking thing going on here, at least in Rochester, New York, and Toronto, and everywhere on the East Coast. It's basically happy hour. So enjoy. So, fellas, I would say that I might be drowning in my sorrows a little bit more than usual after another sweep of the Toronto Blue Jays by the Boston Red Sox. How are you guys feeling after what was a trending direction and then all of a sudden dreams shattered, kind of, I feel like, a little bit?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, we were doing so well over the last few. I'm trying to look at all the games that was happening during the last week from the last podcast. You know, we were winning series. And then again, the kryptonite, at least for this season for us, at least at this point, the Boston Red Sox came by. And you know, albeit we didn't lose by that much on those last two losses, but like I mentioned before, you don't get participation points. It's either a win or a loss. So not very happy about that.
Yeah, I think it's, I find it interesting. Like it even seems like Boston's just turning up every part of their game just for Toronto. Like guys are getting out of slumps. We had a guy who hadn't had a home run since like 2011 or something like that. Hit a home run again. You know what I mean? Like it's weird stuff like that seems to be, rearing up against them. I don't think the Jays played all that bad in any of those three games. But watching them let these leads slip away late in games, it's heartbreaking. It's so hard to think to themselves that they put in a good effort. They got a good effort from their starter and then they're just laying an egg in the seventh, eighth or ninth, one of the three. And it's killing them. They don't seem to have that get up and go to try and get past that. And it's interesting to me because it's going to kill them later on in the summer if they can't somehow find a way to get runs.
I think the run scoring thing is definitely a good piece to it. I think the bullpen is another part that has been many a ridicule and to the fact that I can't even guarantee that Jordan Romano is a lockdown person because he's overworked. The fact that Eric Swanson's starting to trickle in the other direction here a little bit, it looks like. But to that point, there is plenty of things going on that the Red Sox took to us. The fact that Rob Refsnyder is actually a relevant baseball player is still shocking to me. So we saw him in Toronto for the, he was the, remember, for Blue Jays fans, he was the return part of the trade for Jay Happ. So to all of a sudden see him coming through for the Red Sox is kind of irking me a little bit. It's the Gio Urshela trade all over again. But like Ken said, I don't think they played poorly. Yes, there were some bad moments during the series against the Red Sox. But guys, that is the, like I said, they're 0-7 currently against the Boston Red Sox. This is a game that you can't lose to your division this many times. And I'm trying to find what our actual current record is in against our division right now, and I'm coming up short.
Oh, I think I got it. Yeah. I think it's 13-22.
Yes.
They're 13-22 versus the three big guys. And if you throw the seven extra losses in, that's to the, that, you know, that takes them up to 13-29 against the AL East.
So, and I think it's even worse than that because I'm looking at I found the advanced tab finally on the standings. They're 7-20 against the American League East period. That is, I'm not kidding. Ken, I think you're laughing summed it up perfectly because it's laughable.
Oh, it's terrible. But it, I mean, it's got to change. I mean, they're really good teams. They're going to figure them out. Like I said, I feel like there's right now, it feels like there's a missing piece. Like, and unfortunately, I feel like one of those pieces that isn't hitting on all cylinders right now is Kevin Kiermaier. He's kind of fallen off a cliff. You know,
yeah, his stats are going down.
Yeah, a lot of the other guys are holding strong. Yeah, he's been hurt a bit. Dalton Varsho has been, you know, very hot and cold. I do appreciate the fact, I'm sure we'll talk about the All-Star stuff, you know, farther on the cast today. But, you know, to see a guy like Whit Merrifield, who is just pushing that rock up the hill, him and Bo Bichette, just nonstop every single day. We did some analysis as our Little League team on Bo Bichette, why Bo Bichette is so incredible of a hitter. That guy's swing and swing plane, he hits the ball almost just before it catches the hits the catcher's mitt. It's insane. If you watch slow-mo of it, his bat speed is so fast and he's completely in control of wherever he wants his body to be. And he just puts it wherever he wants to. Nuts. And nice to see Whit getting as well. And, you know, was good base running. He's been fielding well. I feel like Jansen's had a good run, but there's too many holes right now.
I would say that even Bo Bichette had his couple, Saturday night that he was running the bases and they were down by two. That he runs around third base following Springer. And I can't blame him completely, but the fact that Rivera did say, go, go, go. And it's like, okay, great. You know, you left him out the dry and you could see him actually, you know, take the gas pedal down a little bit when he was rounding third base. I don't think he was expecting to get that go. And to that point, you know, the momentum had shifted at that point. Let him stand at third, hope for the next guy to come up, especially when it was the meat of the order coming up. So a little self-inflicted fun, but the Blue Jays, like I said, missed that last piece to what you were talking about, Jason, over the weekend here against the Boston Red Sox to be able to take them in this series, or even to come up with a win would have even been better than what we're looking at right now. So what I want to talk on a little bit here to not be a dead horse, but open the book up here a little bit more, AL East in general, guys. Like I said, we're 7-20 currently against our division in baseball. The problem with that is you guys looked at the standings, I'm sure. You see who's ahead of us in the standings. It's nothing but American League East teams.
Yeah.
And then you throw in the Angels, in the Houston Astros, the Red Sox, like I said, are not out of it. Cleveland Indians seem to somehow be hanging around too. And, you know, there's a couple of teams like the Seattle Mariners even that are not too far out of this wild card picture that are one hot streak away from getting back into it. Nobody's running away with it.
No,
all these teams have their flaws.
It's still a toss up. It's still a toss up. Nothing confirmed.
But are you panicked? Because I've been hearing Blue Jays fans saying, let's be sellers at the All-Star or at the trade deadline here. It's getting to that point where some people are going to have to start putting their thinking caps on and see if this team is a pretender or an actual contender in the next few weeks.
It's funny you would say that, Craig. I have a good friend of mine who listens to the cast, and I talk a lot of baseball with him. And as we were just sitting here, he jokingly sent me a text to say, tell Craig to trade Mattingly. So, you know, it's like
I don't think Mattingly's the problem.
He's just kidding. Like he's completely joking.
It's the sideburns, guys. It's the sideburns.
Yeah, sideburns. I would say that, Craig, because I've been reading a little bit online too, just about, you know, some of the panic talk and panic feel and all of the rest of it. And I mean, it's comical to me right now. I mean, you still have a ton of baseball to play. It's like you said, you're one hot streak away from jumping way ahead of the pack. You're one hot streak away from a cold streak from going the other way. The Jays are good enough, I think, that when they get all of their stuff together and they start really, you know, with the nose pointed in one direction, again, I think we'll see that. I think we'll get back to some hot days and some hot weeks, and we have to keep in mind they haven't been that bad. Like, if you look at their other than the American League East, their roster or their games for
they're
the
destroying every other team out of
That's what I was saying. Like,
the
last few series we're winning, right? Yep. Like, it's just Boston that just seems to throw us a monkey wrench in the whole thing, right?
Well, put that in perspective. If we only have 7 wins against the American League East out of our 45, guys, it's
not good.
Most of our wins. No. So,
but I mean, they do have Chicago coming up. Chicago's not a good team. And they've got Detroit behind them. Again, Detroit's not a great team. Arizona's behind that. They're pretty good. But this could be a nice little get well card for them try and get some guys rolling. I think we can all agree that for the most part, it has not been the starting pitching's fault. I think all of the starters have been good. I think they've done their jobs. I think they've gotten the Jays deep into the games, into the fifth and sixth where they need to get them. I don't know. There's something missing right now. And, I feel like, you know, a month and a half ago, we were talking about how everything was hitting. They couldn't miss. There was nothing they weren't doing right. And now, you know, balls are dropping in the outfield, but, you know, guys are getting 2 and 3 Texas League just a game against them, hard hit balls through the gaps and stuff. It's, I don't know. It's one of those things where it just seems like they're holding their breath for the 7th inning or 8th inning to get there. And then the bottom falls.
Yeah. Like, feels like every game at Fenway Park ever, or, you know, it's not over until you hear the fat lady sing at the end of the game. Right. So, but to that point, I think that's been where the frustration has been for most Blue Jays fans. And I agree with you that I don't think this team should be sellers at the deadline here. I do see why people are starting to comprehend that idea. You know, you talk about all the teams that are in it. Okay, a guy like Matt Chapman could be traded and flipped for something that could even help this season, let alone into, you know, the next couple of seasons. It could be things like that for Blue Jays fans as far as where the argument could go, and I get it. I don't think they should be doing anything. I think they should be signing Matt Chapman for the next long term if they can find a way to make it work. So, on that note, gentlemen, I wanted to talk, is not only do we have to get over all those teams, so let's say we do gain a game and a half right now is what we are currently trailing the Yankees, and the second place wild card are tied right now with the Houston Astros. So, like I said, it's right there. And even the Baltimore Orioles are starting to show they're human. They're only 4 games ahead of those 2 teams. So we're really only 5.5 games out of the first wild card spot. Let's say we get into that mix. Who do you think we're going to play the first round of the playoffs? Odds betting, it's going to be another AL East team. So they can't figure out something to do against any of these AL East teams come, you know, what is late August, early September again. Guys, they have to flip the script. Otherwise, they're done. And why even? You might as well throw it in.
I feel like it's interesting though. Like when you think about it it was last year that they lost to the Mariners in that
horrible nightmare that I'm trying to forget.
No one thought that was going to happen. The Mariners had a terrible record against the Jays. The Mariners had a terrible record against the AL East. I mean, they did not look like that. And they just walked in and laid a monkey slap on the Jays. And I mean, it can happen. That's what's so incredible about the game of baseball is, you know, you have to play every game. You can't take anything for granted. And if you even get it, if you get the smallest chance, if they leave the door open a crack, it doesn't matter who it is. The biggest can beat the littlest, and the littlest can pound on the biggest. And I find there's no sport quite like baseball for that. So for me, I don't care. Just get in and then give it everything you've got. And, you know, the Jays are a scrappy team. I think, you know, if you kind of put meat in the tiger cage, I think you would be happy with the result that you get. But it's sports, man. That's why we care, and that's why we love them and hate them and all the rest of it. So bring it on. Bring on the Sox. Bring on the Orioles. Bring on whoever. Oh, and don't buy my hat, Blue Jays fans. This is Lindali. It's not Orioles.
There you go.
I just like got the wrong colors. To that point, I quote a great wrestler. He goes, Ken, can I do this? To be the best, you got to beat the best.
to be the man, you got to beat the man.
There it is. Right? Oh, there it is.
But I guess the only thing that I noticed too, though, gentlemen, is that, you know, everyone above us in the AL East, the last 10 games are pretty much all of them are very similar. We're either splitting everything or we're maybe losing by one, because it looks like the Rays the last 10 are 5-5. The Baltimore Orioles are 4-6. Yankees are 5-5. Jays are 5-5. And Boston is 4-6 for the last 10 games. So at least we know it's not really just all about us. Like we, you know, aside from Boston sweeping us, but like the teams ahead of us, you know, they're not like fully dominating over the last 10 games either. So, you know, let's keep it, I guess, try to keep it in perspective that as we may be struggling a little bit, at least everyone seems to be struggling in the AL, at least a smidge.
Kenny, I don't know if you're just reaching too far into the stat sheets or anything, but you actually pulled a rabbit out of your hat there with one here. Is because the Blue Jays are actually one of the better teams in one-run ball games versus everybody else I just laid out here on the field. We're 13-9 in one-run ball games. The other teams, unless you're the Baltimore Orioles, who apparently are gods when it comes to that, at 14-9. The Houston Astros have a losing record in one-run ball games. The Yankees have a losing record in one-run ball games. And yeah. I think, yeah, looking through the rest of the standings, the Angels are really the only other ones that stands out as a within shooting distance of those same wild card spots that we were just talking about. So regardless of what we were just talking about, putting the bullpen and everything on trial a little bit there, the fact is they're still finding ways to win those close ball games. Usually, I would say it felt a lot more like the flip side of that coin over the last few weeks. But let's hope they get hot here and go into the All-Star break with a winning streak. Take a little bit of a break. Come back hot after the All-Star break, especially after Vlad Jr. brings back a home run derby championship.
I'm actually excited. It's interesting you would bring that up. So I looked at getting tickets for the All-Star game, and they are grotesquely expensive. Like sort of to the point where you're like, really? Like, am I just reading this wrong? Is somebody send this video? Like, is this wrong? But I mean, you know,
full cross-eyed.
It is considered to be the most exciting All-Star game of any sport because it actually means something. And they actually play. Like, I mean, you know, in hockey, you can't really go full clip. You certainly don't want, you know, Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby getting hurt in an All-Star game. Whereas the baseball can still go 95% and it makes it a great game. I mean, you know, you can still blow a hammy or pull a groin or do something like that. But, you know, for the most part, it's a lot of fun. And I, for one, am very excited to see Vladdy in the home run derby. I think his season right now is he's turning things around on the power side. He's turning things around on the getting on base. And I feel like this could be something that could propel him through the summer, even with a mediocre performance. If he gets, you know, if he starts bashing them and they're cheering for him, I mean, there's going to be a lot of Canadians in Seattle down to watch that game. And I mean, who knows? You know, and I know that I don't know if you guys said it or not, but Whit Merrifield's been named, Gausman's been named, and who was the fourth? Bo. And there's still writing opportunities. I mean, I don't know if you guys watched the video of Brandon Bell talking about him and Shohei with the DH All-Star thing.
That was quite amusing.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Have you seen it, Ken?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, it's at a level, and he's like so deadpan. He's like, this whole thing is rigged. He's like, I'm clearly a better designated hitter than Shohei Ohtani. He's like, I'm even a better pitcher. You know, you just never see me go out, and I'm not bragging. It was so funny, and he's so like. And then they started showing all the stuff with him about how he got the fake captaincy when they wouldn't make him the captain of they had a captain on the Giants. And he had claimed that he had won the actual players thing to get it. He got like a hockey C and pinned it on his jersey and got this little captain's hat, like a little boat captain's hat. And he'd wear it in the dugout. And did you guys see though?
So I've seen that one.
He was wearing a hat. But Belt was wearing a hat in the dugout in the last Jays game that said weakest link on it. Like, I'm not joking. He was wearing a hat that had spray painted, looked like spray paint, weakest link. And he was just sitting there talking to Mattingly with this not in a Jays hat. And I'm like, I've never seen that before. But
I'm starting to like Brandon Belt a lot more now.
Me too, man.
So just because I can do this in the internet is a wonderful thing. You are going to see at least a picture of what he's talking about here. And as we go live to Craig's other screen here, this is the coming out of for opening day with the C on, captain's hat.
Oh, it's so good.
But there's a bunch of them on here that he's hanging out in the dugout. They made up t-shirts.
So, and we have them for the Jays.
Oh, yeah, I might have missed one here. Might have missed another perfect one here. He's actually saluting with a bunch of, you know. Funny enough, I guess I'm assuming those are other San Francisco Giants that are dressed up as seamen.
Yeah.
Because that would be the Navy term for lower ranking person.
It's just, yeah. I love that, you know, I love that he's having some fun with it. I love that he hit two the other night. You know, I don't know that Brandon Belt, or that we can expect Brandon Belt to be the, you know, the catalyst that they do need. But I really do think that this All-Star game could be a real momentous, momentum shift for Vladdy.
Correct. And they're going to need that too, because right when they come back, they're going to have the AL West leading. Yes, I said it. AL West leading Arizona Diamondbacks coming back. So that'll also be Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Crabby coming back for the first time too. So it will be interesting for them to see them come back too, because Lourdes Gurriel Jr. actually legit is an All-Star starter, I believe. I think he got voted in. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know he made the team. But
good baseball player.
Hell of a baseball player. And we're still waiting for the flip side of that to catch complete fire, but I think it will happen eventually. Outside of that, guys, then we get the Padres right after that. So 1 week from today, the Blue Jays home run derby representative will be taking some swings. How excited are you to see, though? We saw Vladdy basically win it and then had to get Pete Alonso to literally have the best performance in a home run derby ever to beat Vladdy that year. Vladdy, I believe, hit 98 home runs during the home run derby, I think, and still managed to lose.
Well, I don't know if you remember it. It was a weird one. Was it Alonso that he went the distance with, or was it Alonso he lost to, right?
Correct. But
the big long one was against, who was it? They just kept hitting. Oh, it was Jock Peterson, wasn't it?
Yes, it was Jock Peterson.
So again,
also probably want to do this all over again too.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's he's another one of those ones who's kind of out in left field, no pun intended, right now. Not really doing too much. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's I think it'd be a good thing. I agree that for some, you know, I don't know if Bo is affected by any of this kind of stuff. I've never seen him even really react to much, so I don't know. I know he knows it's an honor, and I know he wants to be part of it every single year. Awesome for Gausman. Like, I mean, that's so cool for him. And
yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw they did his split jersey the other night as one of
that
the
was cool.
promo giveaways, and his daughter came out and threw out the first pitch. It was pretty awesome. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot of pluses to making the All-Star team. But again, I mean, I feel like when they come back to it, they've got to put the hammer down right away. They really have 100%. to win maybe two or three series back to back to back, and then just start to plane forwards to try and, you know, I'd like to see them try and get into second behind the Rays and stay there, fight their way up there and stay there and just get into the playoffs. You know, don't have to chase in a wild card, anything weird like that. You're a good enough team. Get in there, fight your way in, and do something about it.
Yeah. I'm trying to find how they played over the last month, but they actually, when you were looking at all the teams that we had just mentioned, they actually did have the best record of all their rivals in this wild card situation. Outside of the Angels, who have been riding Shohei Ohtani to the promised land at this point.
It's about time. Well, let's not split hairs here, buddy. It's about time that the Angels didn't suck. Yeah. Like, they've got the two best baseball players in the world, and they stink. Yeah. So
it can't make the playoffs.
I mean, really, it's a bit of a joke, but good for them, I guess.
Yeah, I just wish I had to see at the expense of the Blue Jays, but that might be what the competition comes down to. And they're going to be in Toronto too in the near future, if I recall too.
So they were talking about, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but they were talking about Ohtani's possible contract. They say he will become the highest paid player of any sport ever.
Really?
They're talking
about. Are we really shocked by that? Because you got to be a good
insane
pitcher.
Numbers. Yeah. I mean, insane what numbers. Would you pay? What would you pay a pitcher who's as good as he is? $30 million a year?
I would think you're all pushing that. Well, you just saw that with Verlander and Scherzer, right?
Well, now
why
what would
even not be anything different than that with how they're doing right now?
So what does Aaron Judge make?
30? Was it $250 million they just signed?
Bro, what are they going to pay him? $60 million? Like, if you're the best hitter in the league and you're one of the best pitchers in the league, you get paid for both? Or do they just say, you know what? I mean, it's going to be a gigantic number, a number we've never seen before. And he absolutely doesn't need it. That deal he signed with New Balance is like he's filling his extra swimming pool with $100 bills from it. Like it's craziness how much money this guy's going to have. And
have there been any rumors, though, Craig? Sorry, I mean, Jason, what are the rumors? What number? Yeah,
around
they think the number
million
is?
A year.
I was about to say 50. That was going to be my guess.
I mean, that's just a round number. I mean, I would say that it's probably going to be who's the highest paid player in baseball right now? Is it Trout?
I think it technically is Aaron Judge now.
Oh, okay. So I think he's making about 35 or 36, somewhere in that wheelhouse. Yeah. So you've got to at least add $20 million on top of that, right?
Like, I mean, so right now, one agent is predicting that he will get a 12-year, $600 million contract from somebody. That's the other catch. He's got youth on his side.
I know.
He's not, it's not like he's 34 and doing this.
It's crazy,
and
man.
There's somebody else saying it could be 10 years, $430 million. It's slightly ridiculous. Either way, everybody's in agreement from what I'm reading here that $30 million ain't going to cut it for a year.
No, not even close.
And honestly, guys, if you're making that much already, what's another million or two? Does it really change your finance? I mean, it's great to have, but I think once you start making that kind of money,
I don't think it's about the money for Shohei, honestly. I don't know a ton about him, but I have been, I'm really intrigued by him, and I find that a guy that's as athletic and as talented as he is on both sides of the ball. I mean, it's got to be something. How did no one see this coming to the level that it's at? And so that was what I was watching is there was guys when he was 17, 18, 19 years old who were like, he's okay. I mean, he can throw the ball hard and
case in point, correct me if I'm wrong here. He played on the same team as Yosei Kikuchi, and Kikuchi won the Pitcher of the Year award in Japan over him.
Yeah.
He kind of
Aaron Judged a bit, where Aaron Judge was not a good hitter. Like, I mean, he was a strong cat that if you threw the ball down the middle or hung one, he'd take you a yard, but he was not a good hitter. And it took him a couple of years to become a good hitter. He's still not a great hitter. I just find he gets a lot of lucky pitches. So, for some reason, they don't pitch around him. They pitch to him. I don't know why.
Especially with the Yankees lineup right now, pitch to him. Donaldson's batting behind, for Christ's sake. And so Rizzo batting 215.
It's one of those things where when he signed with the Angels, I mean, I knew it was a big deal. Like the Red Sox threw a bunch of money at him. The Yankees threw a bunch of money at him. Like everyone was trying to get him, but they weren't trying that hard. It wasn't like people were flying to Japan to try and woo him or anything. They just, they knew he was coming. They knew he was okay. This is what I don't understand. Like, how does somebody fly under the radar that much? Because, I mean, ever since basically he's been in the MLB, he's been phenomenal. Like, I mean, lights out phenomenal. And, the Angels say they're going to back the truck up and just dump it on him. But what Shohei wants to prove to everyone that he was as good back then when no one would give him the time of day. He was doing what he was doing. They just didn't think he could sustain it at the major league level. And he came to America and basically gave him the one gun salute to the whole league. And so for me, I mean, Shohei does not want $60 million because he needs $60 million. Shohei wants someone to look and he wants to go, see this? That's me. I'm the best. I am the man. And it's funny, we started today, I was talking to you guys. We've been working with Brandon Geyer, who's a former MLB player. He's now the strength and conditioning coach, or mental coach, sorry, for the Angels. And so Brandon, we've had some conversations, you know, before we were doing stuff. And he said that one of the most interesting things he's ever seen is Shohei Ohtani, his mantra is basically, I'm the man. Like, and he said it's not confident, but it's not over cocky. It's not any of that stuff. He's just like, I'm him. Like, and he has it written like on his glove, and he has it written on his batter's gloves. He has it written above his locker. It just says, I'm him.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ever anybody's talking about the best player in baseball, that's me. You know,
yeah.
And it's an interesting way to, we've been doing a lot of this mental stuff and you know, just the to hear some of the guys in the MLB, we've heard talk about, you know, all these little slogans that we've all heard for different things and, you know, control the controllables and all this stuff. But it's interesting to hear that how many MLB players just have the word breathe written somewhere, like whether it's on a bat, whether it's on the stuff they carry out to the field.
Ray Pearson's got it on his thumb on his glove.
Yeah.
He
said it's one of those things that it's a reminder.
Breathe.
Just breathe. And it's
breathe.
It's interesting when you hear these guys talk like humans, you know, because for the most part, we consider them to be superhuman. And, you know, Brandon was talking about the fact that Shohei is just a different dude. Like, he realized when he came over that he needed to start working harder than everybody, and he did. And so he does it every single day. He's the first one out. He's the last guy taking BP. He's running sprints. He's trying to get his arm in better shape. Like, he never stops. And I've heard it now about Bryce Harper. I've heard that Bryce Harper is basically off the charts for the amount of work that he puts in. And I would assume that Mike Trout is the same way. I think all these guys that are at the top of their game are putting in insane amounts of work. And it's amazing to me to see, you know, how like Ronald Acuna, like, I mean, I knew he was a good baseball player, but did anyone know he was as good as he is right now? Like, he's phenomenal. He's Ricky Henderson. If he doesn't hit a home run, he steals two bases. He gets a single and steals two bases. It's so exciting.
It looks like he's playing Little League.
Really?
The nicest way of saying it. So, to your point, to put the work ethic thing into perspective for Blue Jays fans, everybody has always heard the lore that is Roy Halladay and how he put in the work to get ready for his starts. The guy literally has a workout method in the Rogers Center nicknamed after him. It's called doing the Halladay Mile. It's you go up to the 500 level and you freaking run around the ring of the damn 500 level a bunch of times. And going up on all the stairs and everything. So that is a Roy Halladayism that is ingrained in Blue Jay culture. I can get where you're going on that whole thing. And to that point, Shohei Ohtani is going to get paid and going to get paid a ridiculous sum to a team to be their guy.
Yeah. I think one of the things we've also seen that's come from this as well, talking about just sort of preparedness and everything, is how well Danny Jansen came back from injury. And how well he's continued to play. I mean, I know he's gotten injured a handful of times over the last 2 years, but every time he's come back in better shape and he's come back to rake. And you almost want to have him get himself hurt every month or so. Come back and smash bombs. I mean,
tell him to take a day off with the flu or something and then come back and don't get hurt.
Then come back. Not injured. Jason, not injured.
But it's interesting to see if Kirky will come back the same way. He's supposed to be. Is he playing tonight? Tonight? Tomorrow?
No, he played the last. He played over the weekend. He had a hit yesterday. It was actually a key hit.
Yeah. Right.
So. But yeah, but to your point, we talked about how the Blue Jays get back on point. Those getting some more contributions from those two can get us back to where we were talking about with the the catching. Where right now we're quote unquote been underperforming a little bit from where we were last year, right? I find that hard to believe when I look at those two's numbers at the end of the day. But yeah, they're not, you know, Kirk isn't batting 300 like he was last year. I wouldn't say he was going to do that every year anyway, but I figured he was going to be damn near close to it. I was figuring the power was going to start coming out, like what we've seen with Danny Jansen over the last couple of years, things like that. But there are plenty of good things still going for this team, and they just got to get it together. That's all it is. I really think that some point, I do think that they will be buyers at the trade deadline here in the next few weeks. There's a lot of guys that sound like they are possibly going to be on the move, and I would be shocked that the Blue Jays are not interested in any of those names, especially on the starting pitching avenue. Although, has anybody paid attention to what happened in New Hampshire last night?
Was that Manoah?
Mr. Manoah.
It was Mr. Alek Manoah, who I don't know if anybody paid attention to his first rehab start. I use the quotes sparingly because it's what either good. It was bad, like train wreck. Like, I might as well just write this off. He gave up 10 earned runs to the Gulf Coast Yankees.
Yeah.
So that is barely a league anymore, officially in Major League Baseball. And he gave up 10 runs. So, and that was in 2/3 innings. I've heard some rumors about what was going on. Possibly he was only limited to one pitch, two pitches. He only was allowed to stay at the bottom of the strike zone, whatever it might be. Either way, the Gulf Coast League Yankees figured it out quick. Or maybe it was a go ahead and find, be yourself, go out there and see if these kids can hit it. And yeah they did. Yeah. So whatever he was working on obviously did not work. But last night, complete flip of the script with what was going on in New Hampshire.
10 strikeouts, I believe.
10 strikeouts, 5 innings, only allows 3 hits and 1 run. He did walk 3, however, but the catch on that whole thing is, okay, he must have been finding the plate, because you would think that regardless of what's going on, his stuff would play on any level of Major League Baseball or in the minors. If he is on and finding near the plate, they're going to swing at it. They might miss it, but they're going to swing at it. So, obviously, I would say maybe that's only 5 strikeouts or something like that, the major league level, with whatever he was playing around with last night, or maybe somewhere in the 8 ballpark. But those kids were obviously swinging at it at the double A level. But double A isn't what double A used to be, guys. That is a very competitive league. And it's actually, as far as skill level, I think triple A and double A are kind of right there. I don't think it's as big of a jump from double A to go to triple A as it once used to be. But maybe that's my opinion.
Well, I mean, yeah. I've just, you know, it's interesting you would say that, because I've got a buddy who played pretty high level, and we actually went to a Canadiens game a little while ago, and he was like, you guys have no idea how hard it is to be a pitcher in this league. He's like, every single kid that's going to the plate wants to mash. They are not up there to watch. They are not up there to take, and they're going to hit good pitches. Like, you'll drop a curveball on somebody and you'll pick it right off the dish and blast it into the gap. And you're like, how? That's the best stuff I've got. And of course, it's just a guy getting lucky or a guy being hungry. Like, I mean, the amount of first pitch fastballs that you see hit hard at that level is uncanny. And you've got these poor kids, you know, who are 18, 19, 20, 21, who are just trying to establish pitches, and these maniacs at the plate that just, they won't let anything go by. And, you know, you're watching these games and it's 10-8, and you're like, what the hell? But it's fun to watch. I mean, it's, you know, it's how baseball should be. But to get through that meat grinder, like I when I saw the Manoah first start, I was like, whatever. I mean, it's, yeah. And the thing that I really liked was the amount of dudes that came to his back right away that just were like, just wait, he'll shut you up.
And I'll figure it out.
Marcus Stroman was the first, which gets back to my original point from 2 weeks ago, that I still think he's going to be a Jay before the end of the year. Yeah. We'll come back to that. But
we'll see. I do think you're going to see that really quickly too, because if nothing happens at the trade deadline to offset that, he's going to have to, regardless of what he's been doing. And kind of, obviously, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
You guys go ahead, continue. I just like to jump in when something comes to mind.
I feel like what Manoa, you know, then last night, you know, that's more like what we're going to start to see. And I mean, God help it if he gets back up to the majors this year. Every time he starts, he's going to be, I mean, we already know what he can do. And to have him pissed off, I think that would be, you know, sure, maybe pitch him every time he plays against the Red Sox. But that being said, I mean, he's going to come back angry. I've heard really good things about Hyunjin Ryu. Apparently, he's like really coming along quickly, throwing the ball hard. And who's the other one? We're missing one more right now, aren't we?
Bullpen guy, Chad Green.
Yeah, yes. We got Chad Green, Zach Pop, Adam Simber, and Ryu. They're all injured right now.
Simber, I don't know if Simber's ever coming back. Simber kind of is on the Manoa train right now, where he just can't hit strike zone. And when he does, it's he might as well be throwing it underhand. You know,
meatballs.
You can't, if you're going to be a hokey pitcher, you gotta hit your spots. You can't. We were watching the, today, the, Giants, were playing the Cubs. Maybe. I think that's right. Yeah. Giants Cubs. If it isn't, I don't know. It's been a long day. But they had a submariner as well, and he gave up two home runs, and you're just like, wow, like, it's a hard pitch to follow, but it hangs. Like, as soon as it comes out of the guy's hand, it's already looping into the strike zone. And if you just wait on it, I mean, see you later.
Yeah. So the current update on Ryu is he, obviously he's coming, recovering from Tommy John surgery, through three innings in a simulated game this past Wednesday. And he's supposed to be doing a live pitching for, actually tomorrow. So that would be a week's rest where he's trying to get back to, obviously, seeing how he recovers at this point from throwing simulated games and whatnot. So clearly this is not a, result of the injury anymore. This is a building him up to actually contribute in some fashion, because they're building him up as a starting pitcher. And they've said that flat out a bunch of times. So it's exciting to see if he's that far along already, that he could be on track for a, you know, low level minor league start sometime in the next few weeks. Yeah. That's saying a lot.
So guys, where would Ryu actually, so let's say he gets back to the starting rotation for the Jays. Where would you place him? Like, would he be the first, third, fifth?
No, right now he's taking that spot. That's Manoa's, I think.
Yeah. So he'd start at the bottom, probably. And okay, you would start to see where he was fitting. And, you know, you'd give him a few starts. He'd probably, I mean, classically, usually when you come back, you perform really well in your first one. And then there's a bit of a dip in your second. And then it just starts to sort of, whichever way it's going to go, it goes. You know, if it's gonna extend upwards, it starts and extend upwards. If not, it's, you know, and that's what's so interesting about pitchers is I mean, you kind of got to give them a little bit of rope, and more rope than you can give to a lot of field position players, because I mean, if somebody gets hurt and they come back and they've got the yips, or they're just not playing the ball right, or they're just not in shape, that you know, there's five or six guys in your stream that you can pull up to play short or play second or play left or play center. But a pitcher is so interesting, because once the wheels start to come off, it's hard to get them back on. I mean, you know, the Mets are paying two guys $60 million to be two of the most mediocre pitchers in the majors right now. You know, so, I mean, it happens. You know, I feel like Manoa is going to come storming back, and we're going to get hit with a few other good pieces. And, you know, again, it's be healthy at the right time. And, then you can really do some damage.
I think the thing that's going to help the two of them the most, actually, is the fact that if they both make it back up to Toronto in similar fashion at the same time. Yes. We all know Ryu and Manoa are buddy-buddy, apprentice and master kind of thing going on here. And the fact that we saw Manoa not have him for most of last season and this year, maybe he just needs that other set of eyes. That isn't the coach, somebody that he's honest with, you know, that kind of thing. And I wonder if that was always his person with Ryu. He is a young player. Everybody forgets that. So you got to remember that sometimes just having the right voice and the right person around at the right time helps. Talked about mental health on this show repeatedly, including having Dr. Jenna Ross and possibly Brandon Guyer on eventually. You know, those kind of fun things. We know that that's a big part of the game, regardless of who it is and how it is. And it never fixes the same two people properly the same way. You know, something that works for me, for example, isn't going to be the reason that it helps one of you two. It's just all those kind of things. So hopefully that's the last bit of it, because I do think that the way the chips are starting to fall here, you're talking August for Ryu.
Yeah.
So, which is about what they were targeting.
I think you can safely say that. I think you can safely say that he'll be back in August. I mean, based on everything we're seeing. And that's a really good time to get him. I mean, you know, I think a number of time ago, we spoke on this show about load management and how smart some NHL teams are to manage load. And I mean, if the Jays are coming down the stretch and they're getting close, and I know nobody wants to take a day off, but I mean, we all saw, you know, when Vladdy was given a bit of, you know, some time off, he comes back strong. Springer is like he's fountain of youth. Like, give him a couple of days off, he comes back as like a new dude. But I feel like they all, like, I mean, it's a long ass season, and you know, you've got to give these guys some time. And right now, like, even the just watching the Jays right now, they look tired. They look like, you know, sort of the dog days have already set in. I often find, though, that sort of as they hit that Canada Day break, they start to you know, sort of as it's starting to push forwards into summer pretty hard, you do start to see a little bit more smiling, a bit more fun, and you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's been a bit of a grind for the last, you know, at least the last month. But, you know, who knows?
It's when you lean on your friends and hope you have a good comedian in the locker room to loosen everybody up.
Yeah.
I still think it's hilarious hearing that Kikuchi's the comedian in the locker room.
He is. Awesome.
That's what I keep hearing. So, and then you got Springer, but go ahead, Ken.
No, I was just going to say, because sometimes, like, the players are their own worst enemy, right? Like, you're talking about that whole workload management is that, you know, okay, I had a rough game, so I got to play better the next game or the next game. And they're almost running their, you know, their reserves really low. So yeah, I think that they probably are just beat up and tired at this point. So I think it's a well-deserved break that hopefully this will give them.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, Ken. I think the Blue Jays letting the game come to them rather than the pressing and trying to make something happen. And I think that would be a good accurate assessment of how this weekend happened with the Boston Red Sox. Like I said, with that play running around the third base with Bo Bichette, that was clearly forcing something. And we saw a couple of base running things like that, a couple of extra throws that really contributed to the loss yesterday. That was like, maybe you should have, you know, done the little like thing, you know, it's an apple, eat it. Don't throw it there.
Exactly.
So things like that, things that you get taught in Little League baseball. But to that point, like I said, I can see why they're pressing and trying to do that. But that's at a minimum, they come back from the break hoping that they have that kind of thing figured out. Like I said, the Zen moment, just let the game come back to them kind of thing. Whatever it is. So I do have an update for Zach Pop for me, seeing you brought him up. On good report card night in Buffalo on Saturday, he pitched 1 2/3 innings and had a really good outing. So he might be closer than a lot of people think. 1 walk, 3 strikeouts and 1 2/3. So that was pretty good for Zach Pop. That was a key contributor for them winning that game 4-0 in Buffalo. So, and that wasn't not the night that, Eli De Los Santos hit a walk-off pinch hit grand slam. That was last Tuesday. Yes, you heard me. That's the first one in Buffalo Bison's history.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Pinch hit, walk-off, grand slam.
Grand slam.
So cool.
It's a mouthful.
How do people just absolutely not love baseball? Like, honest to God, like, where?
And what I'm sorry, it was Luis De Los Santos. I was thinking the gentleman that plays for Cincinnati that's been raking.
Oh my God.
With the De Los Santos, but Luis De Los Santos hit that home run and it was insane.
How about Joey Votto?
I highly recommend looking that home run up for Blue Jays fans because that's a hell of a home run. Joey Votto is a treasure, period.
Oh, my God. What? He's been out for like 11 months, has he not? And he comes back and he's hit like 8 home runs. And I mean, he gets them to put that Viking thing and everything on outside of the Dougie. And he's wanting it. I mean, come on. Like,
just to put this out there, how much fun would this be if the Cincinnati Reds team is actually legit and for real that Joey Votto actually gets something out of the craziest contract
in baseball history?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that a 15-year contract that Cincinnati signed with him or something like that?
Yeah, it was long.
It was.
I know it takes him into like some of his senior years, but it's funny. Do you know what I looked at last night? Do you guys know that Bobby Bonilla hasn't played a baseball game since 1999, I think it was, and he gets paid till 2036, over $1 million a year.
Bobby Bonilla Day.
Like, wow.
If you want to go down that avenue, I have another trivia question for you. Who is the current highest paid person / player by the Cincinnati Reds? It's not Joey Votto.
Is Pete Rose still getting paid?
For his gambling debts, maybe, but that's not sizable.
I don't know. Who is it?
It is currently Ken Griffey Jr. is the highest paid Cincinnati Red.
Yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yeah. They still owe him
paid by the Reds.
Crap ton of money.
It's similar to the Bobby Bonilla thing. And it's a 10-year deal for Joey Votto. So,
Wow.
That's crazy. He has a club option for 2024 and a $7 million buyout. So this could be, in all technicality, possibly his last season.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they'll
take.
I'd take him on a flyer at $7 million if I was going to buy him out of his contract, but you know what I mean? It's a mutual, apparently. Oh, no, sorry, I take that back. Club option.
Yeah, club option. I didn't read that. Yeah. There was a club option.
So, anyways, now that we're talking baseball trivia. Speaking of baseball trivia, you guys seen the horrible goofiness that I've been doing on our Twitter account and everything?
Yeah, it's been great. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to answer them or not.
I answer them. They're videos, so it comes up, but you're more than welcome to goof around and whatnot. But have you seen any of them and had any good guesses on any of them over the last week, or have I been completely stumping the two of you?
There was one I knew almost right away. It'll come to me.
I can list them out here if I can get to my damn Instagram account. It's being mean.
I can't remember which one it was, but the first question that you asked, I was like, I'm pretty sure I know that one. And I mean, I always like to think that I do, but I you've got to sort of give it its time to, I like to list, I've done under the days of sort of jumping. I'd rather just listen to all the clues.
Make a good guess. So on that note, I will tell you what the most recent trivia one is because I'm going to post a new one after the show anyways, because I'm trying to do that every weekday evening during Blue Jays games. So it's something to post in some of our Blue Jays fans to chit chat and talk about during the games. Obviously tonight is an off day before we said have the White Sox and the Tigers over the next couple of days.
Yeah.
So the question: which Jays hitter led off the inning for Joe Carter's walk-off 1993 World Series home run? He walked to lead off that inning.
Devon White?
That would have been a very good guess and about as fast.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
We traded for him at the trade deadline in 1993.
Was it Alomar?
Nope. That was 91. That would have happened.
Oh.
It wasn't Ricky
Henderson. Future Hall of Famer is your... It was Ricky Henderson.
Henderson? Oh.
Ricky Henderson walked off of Mitch Williams to lead off that inning. Paul Molitor hits a single. So now you got runners on first and second.
I thought it was Molitor, and I was going to say Molitor, and I was like, I feel like it was somebody else, though. Ricky B. Ricky.
Yep. And there you go. Ricky B. and Ricky. So on that note, gentlemen, I think we're at that point. Unless you have any topics you would like to talk about this evening slash afternoon slash happy hour, whatever it is anymore, before we go into picks to collect.
I'm solid.
I'm good.
Yeah. So the list is getting crowded, fellas. So last week I carried over both of your picks and had a new pick by Eric the Hack on the show last week where he picked Chapman. Sorry to say, Ken, I carried over your pick for Spencer Horowitz from the previous week. Honestly, if Brandon Belt doesn't come back healthy, this could have been a very, very different conversation with Spencer Horowitz.
He was going to be my pick for this week.
Yeah, there you go. Dark horse.
For Buffalo, right? So, Jason had Danny Jansen, and I had Double K. So, I'm going to have to say the most consistent person, at least in my vote for those four gentlemen, would be, I think Matt Chapman had the best week of those. I don't know about you, Ken. You thinking Jano had a pretty good week?
I thought Jano had a pretty good week.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I'm going to have to pull up the stats now. I'm going to have to go to the board. Because I don't remember, honestly. Jano had a pretty good week, but I felt like that Chappie had a pretty good week as well. So, Matt Chapman had 5 hits, 2 doubles, a home run, and 2 RBIs.
Well, he might win.
Where the hell is Danny Jansen on this list? There he is. Danny had a decent week, but I'm pretty sure Matt Chapman beat him.
I do too.
Yeah, and it's the home runs.
Yeah, I agree.
So on that note, we'll carry Chapman's pick over, even though it was a win for the guest spot, because fun-loving weird time here for the Canada Day holiday and July 4th here in the United States. So go ahead, Jason, go for it.
All right.
Chapman's the only one off the board because of the guest spot.
You know what? I'm gonna take a chance, and I'm gonna go into the archive. We're gonna take the man, the myth, the legend, Kevin Biggio.
I was gonna say that looks like Biggio. All right.
So that's not a bad pick. You're talking about somebody that's been hot over the last few weeks in Toronto Blue Jays. Fun. He's one of the guys that has been. Currently, talking about what he's done over the last few weeks, he's had a few giant home runs for the Toronto Blue Jays. Didn't get much playing time this week, but I would think against the very right-handed heavy Chicago White Sox, he's going to get in some of those lineups. And hopefully he'll keep capitalizing, because I would love to see him catch fire. Ken, what are you thinking for your pick to click?
I think I'm going to go with Brandon Belt this time. I think he was going to build momentum from his previous 2 homers. Game last time, so he's my pick for this week.
It was the captain hat that put you over on
Horowitz. No, I'm kidding, not Horowitz.
It was the captain hat that put you over the edge, wasn't it? It was the pictures from early in the show.
The hat and the seat. I gotta watch the video now. I gotta YouTube that.
There you go. I think I'm gonna steal Jason's pick from last week. I think Danny Jansen's gonna run into the break hot here, and we're gonna go have some fun at catcher's position finally for the last few weeks. So, anything else, fellas?
No.
No.
I'm out. Other than the fact that I'm very excited to watch the home run derby next week, because this is a stock home run derby. Guys, did you see this lineup? Well, who's in this? Adley Rutschman of the Orioles. Pete Alonso trying to defend his home run champion prowess, as this would be his 5th year winning it. So, then you have Randy Arozarena. Mookie Betts hasn't done one since Fenway Park, I believe, since he was a Boston Red Sox. Obviously, we know Vladdy's in it. Julio Rodriguez is going to be in it as well. So this is a very, very stocked 8-man field for the home run derby a week from tonight.
So, guys, here's another interesting one before we split here. Do you guys know who has hit the most home runs in the majors in the last 2 years?
2 years?
Hmm.
And it's not Judge.
No, he's second by about 20 homers.
In the last 2 years. Is it Otani?
No, it's Pete Alonso.
Really?
That doesn't shock me. Wow.
Like, I think the number is something like, if I remember right, it's like 171 and then Judge is at like 158. It's
damn.
I don't know if that guy gets enough run of the polar bear.
He does not.
He's a good first baseman and hammers the baseball. Like, I don't know if his parents hit him with balls or something when he was young, but he does not like baseball.
Spanking those balls.
It's like that scene in Happy Gilmore where he's just sitting there getting pummeled by the pitching machine. That's awesome. So, but yeah, you're not wrong. 37 home runs over the last in 2021. He had 40 in 2022, and he's already off to 25 this year. So yep. The polar bear is macho. So good stuff. And like I said, he will be defending his home run derby crown this week, coming week. But to that point, I think that's it this evening / afternoon, whatever time it is. So Blue Jays fans, make sure you join us every week. We saw plenty of you in tonight's episode. Make sure you join the chat and wherever platform you're on, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, any of that, make sure you join the chat. We are the Barroom Chat for Toronto Blue Jays fans, the official podcast for Blue Jays fans on jaysjournal.com, part of fansided.com. And if you missed us during the live recordings every Monday evening, make sure you join us wherever you get your podcasting pleasures from, whether it's on Spotify, Apple, whatever it might be. We are Jay Bird Watching. And guys, that's the end of the show. 1, 2, 3. Let's go, Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah.
Kelly Gruber. Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go Jays, go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.